All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN loves. Welcome to the show. I can't believe 88 degrees and it's June 4th. David Bellavia is missing this because he is broadcasting from Normandy. And I'm not going to lie, I am very envious of David Bellavia because he not only will be in Normandy for the 80th anniversary of the invasion, of which, by the way, his own grandfather was part. But he gets to hang out with 90-year-olds and centenarians who were involved in the invasion of Normandy. And that is right up David's alley. It would be right up my alley as well. But like I was joking with David yesterday in a bunch of texts, first of all, I told David, you sound great. And this is absolutely must listen to radio. And then I joked with him, you get Normandy and I get the SPCA in West Seneca, which that was pretty funny. But anyway, David Bellavia broadcasting from Normandy, and a special kudos to our engineers at WBEN, my dear friends Al Marenka and Tom Matty. M-A-T-T-E, two of the best in the entire business. And also kudos to Lisa Polizzi, our brand manager, and our vice president, general manager, Tim Wenger, for helping make that entire thing come together. It was and is, continues to be, extremely compelling radio. I mean, what I would like to do at some point is do July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd from Gettysburg at some point. The problem is I do a general interest talk show, and doing 3 days on the Battle of Gettysburg from Gettysburg, I always tell you guys that you can't please everybody all the time with topics. And I'll tell you what, if you do have ideas for topics you would like to hear, I'm not the last word. I'm not the Supreme Court on topics. If there's stuff that you would like to hear as a topic on the show, you can feel free to email me, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com. And frankly, sometimes you guys send in topics that I use, and they're really super awesome. Sometimes they're not really like radio-friendly topics, but look, I do appreciate the input very much. And again, you can't please everybody all the time. I recognize that. That's one of, even Rush Limbaugh. And when Rush Limbaugh would talk about golfing or football, he would always complain that he got belted with thousands of emails saying, stick to the politics, stick to the politics. And that's another thing, by the way, that I don't do. I don't do a political show. I will do politics when politics are the obvious topic to do, or is the obvious topic to do. But my own personal belief is that all political talk radio all the time is a recipe for disaster for a show and a radio station. And quite frankly, the ratings and research across the talk radio business bears that out. People are much more interested in general interest talk radio than simply all politics all the time. And pardon me. But, you know, all I can tell you is I try my best, and I try to be as interesting every day to as many people as possible. That being said, if I did a show on pickleball, which is America's number two favorite pastime right now, there's going to be people who love it because they're into pickleball, and there's going to be people who are going to say, please quickly get my Bluetooth out and let me listen to an Agata DeVita. The same thing. I got an email on the birding show we did. Somebody said, can't believe you spent so much time talking about birds and woodpeckers. You're better than that. And what the person didn't realize, and I say this respectfully, is birding is actually America's number one hobby. And that show we did on birding and where to do it around Western New York, every line was jammed the entire time we did the topic. And I got a whole bunch of photos from people of rare birds they've spotted around Western New York. So, you know, again, you can't please everybody all the time. And I thank you for the input. And like I said, if you've got topic ideas, I can't guarantee I'll do them, but I'll certainly consider them if you email me, tom@wben.com. Now, before we get to our next guest, immigration attorney Rosanna Berardi, I think it's important that we set up the table for you. There was a news release and comments from the President of the United States, Joe Biden, today, and it dealt with a new approach at the border. And I want to, we've got about 50 seconds of President Joe Biden, and we're going to Tanner Saunders in the next room behind the glass. He is going to let those cuts roll to give you an idea of what was discussed today at the White House.
Migrants will be restricted from receiving asylum at our southern border unless they seek it after entering through an established lawful process. And those who seek to come to the United States legally, for example, by making an appointment and coming to a port of entry, asylum will still be available to them. Frankly, I would have preferred to address this issue through bipartisan legislation, because that's the only way to actually get the kind of system we have now that's broken, fixed, to hire more Border Patrol agents, more asylum officers, more judges. For those who say the steps I've taken are too strict, I say to you that be patient, and goodwill of American people are going to be wearing thin right now. Doing nothing is not an option. We have to act. We must act consistent with both our law and our values. The simple truth is, there is a worldwide migrant crisis. And if the United States doesn't secure our border, there's no limit to the number of people may try to come here.
And joining us right now on News Radio 930 WBEN, you've heard her on the program before, yet another attorney in my life. I can't get away from them. Mm-hmm. I talk to my daughter. It's like between the attorneys and the cops and the people involved in other endeavors, I just can't get enough. Rosanna Berardi. Rosanna, thanks very much. Appreciate your time today. And we promise we're not going to play Toto at the bottom of the hour coming back from the news. Unless you want us to.
I kind of like it.
we'll play Toto then. Okay. So today, the announcement from the White House, which we read pretty much in its entirety earlier, what changed as of today?
Well, we knew this was coming. In our industry, we knew this one was coming. It was just going to be a matter of when. So what changed today? I'll tell you what changed. The Biden administration did a total 180 on their position regarding asylum migrants, if you will, and are now limiting the number of people that can enter the U.S. southern border to seek asylum. And that's a huge 180 from an administration that, you know, has been critical of any mention of restricting people that want, quote unquote, a better life. They are now putting a numerical cap on the number of people, which 2,500 people per day is the number that was stated today in the announcement. That's pretty high. I mean, that's still almost a million people a year if you do the math. But yeah, we've seen a total about face here from the Biden administration.
Now, we talked earlier about the political rationale behind that, and I don't think you need to be Carl Calabrese or David Bellavia or some great political strategist to figure out that months before the election, obviously the Biden campaign sees this as a losing issue with the voters who are in the middle, the so-called independents or suburban women. They're trailing on immigration by double digits. So clearly there is a political component to this. The Democrats, the hardcore Democrats, are not going to change their vote from Joe Biden over this. And the Trump people are not going to change their vote to Joe Biden over this. The idea, of course, from here on in, just keep this in mind, from here on in, everything from the White House and probably a lot from the Trump campaign is going to be geared to the people in the middle and suburban women, without whom one cannot win an election. The idea of executive orders, and we've talked about this before, but executive orders have run into problems before, in particular involving immigration, no?
Absolutely. I've been an immigration lawyer for 27 years, and executive orders always make my stomach flop a little bit because they're not intended to be a replacement for the legislative branch of the United States government. And that's what's happened over time. And yes, a lot of administrations have used them. Barack Obama was infamous for the number of executive orders that he issued. And, you know, Trump has and Biden has, and they all do. But the problem with executive orders is upon review, the courts, particularly the Supreme Court, will say, no, this is an issue for the legislature. This is an issue for Congress. We've seen it time and time again. And what made me just pause and actually almost chuckle when I read the White House statement, the proclamation on securing the border, is it says loudly and clearly, we expect this to fail. We expect this to fail legally, but we just have to do it anyway, because basically, if you read between lines, something is better than nothing. And that is happening. The election is 154 days from today. This is window dressing. This is for the soundbite listener who says, okay, the Biden administration is handling immigration. They don't know what, but they hear something. And that's really, I've read the entire announcement. I've read the executive order. I've done a ton of reading and prep on this today. And that's what this is. This is the administration saying this is going to fail. We don't think we've got the infrastructure, the resources for it, but we have to do something because those darn Republicans won't cooperate. But I challenge that and say, well, the Democrats had control of Congress unequivocally for 2 years. And if something could be done at any point in time, that would have been done. That would have been the time for, you know, immigration, comprehensive immigration reform that they're always selling.
For those who don't know, like medicine with the law, everybody has a specialty. And Rosanna Berardi, her specialty is immigration law. Other people specialize in criminal defense. Other people specialize in vehicle and traffic law and tickets. It is so specialized, and immigration is Rosanna Berardi's specialty. And we will take some telephone calls for Rosanna Berardi as we move along at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Rosanna Berardi, I've got so many questions for you. I do want to keep you on after the news at 5:30 to take some telephone questions for you about this issue. But I know this is going to come up, so I want to dispense with it now, because there are still people who are very confused over the issue of asylum and the idea that if you are being persecuted by a government actor, if you are going to request asylum in another country, does it have to be the first country where you are not being persecuted by a government actor, or can you make it all the way to the United States? That comes up every single time we talk to you.
Yeah, the answer to that is you can make it all the way to the United States and pass through 15 different countries that aren't persecuting you. So it's a major loophole, right? It's a major way for people to come to the United States. Look, word gets out. I mean, word gets out amongst the smugglers, amongst the migrant community of what's going on at the border. Are they letting people in? Are they not? You know, what happens when we get here? This is not, you know, this is a very high level orchestrated faction, if you will, at the border. And the numbers aren't high for no good. I mean, there's a reason for it, and it's because this administration reputationally has been lax on immigration at the U.S. southern border particularly, and the numbers have been in millions in the last 4 years. And so people are going bypassing several countries at a time and entering the U.S. And the weird thing is, Tom, which nobody really realizes, is the majority of people coming to the United States as migrants right now are not from Mexico or Central America.
Right.
They are from countries like, you know, there's a lot of Chinese nationals coming into the United States. They are from all over the place, in Africa, in Asia. And with this new executive order that says, okay, if we hit this limit of 2,500, you know, you have to go back. How are you going to get people back to Africa or Asia quickly? It is not a well thought out executive order in that it sounds easy. We're not letting them in. Well, what are you going to do with people that have nowhere to go?
Well, okay, and you know, this is why I need so much time with you, because why are over 20,000 CCP members, presumably, coming in through the southern border, and they happen to be mainly male and of military age? It leaves me scratching my head, and I was thinking yesterday, and I've mentioned this before, the idea that if you want to know what happens to a native population when unchecked immigration takes place, ask a Native American how that worked out. I want you to stay with us on WBEN. If you have a question on the legal aspects of the immigration policies announced today by Joe Biden, President of the United States, I would call in at about 5:35. I like to minimize your time on hold and be considerate of you. 803-0930 in the 716, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly. Thank you so much for joining us. News is coming up next with Tom Puckett on WBEN. Poor Rosanna. Rosanna Berardi is an attorney, and her specialty is immigration, and we've had her on previously. Now, if you have questions about what the White House announced today vis-a-vis immigration, our phone number is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, sometimes you guys email me the strangest questions, but you make me think. Somebody sent me an email asking, Tom, what are those tiny little red spiders that are starting to run around now? And the answer, I believe, is they're not spiders. They're actually called clover mites. And the same person asked me, what are those jumping spiders called that are white and red? Or, I'm sorry, white and black. And the answer to that is those are zebra jumpers. The never-ending fest. I could do a whole show on bugs. I really could. But we'll all be eating them after a while if the World Economic Forum takes over the world. Joining us is immigration attorney Rosanna Berardi on News Radio 930 WBEN. And you brought up something before we broke for news that is of great interest, I think, to a lot of people. The why. W-H-Y. Why are we seeing so many Chinese nationals, men of military age, over 20,000, I believe just this year, entering the United States from Mexico? Is this, and I'm not trying to be conspiracy theory guy, but is this a plan to infiltrate the United States with agents of the CCP?
Really hard to say, and thanks for that musical interlude. I really enjoyed that. Hard to say why specifically, but logically, when you watch any news clip of the United States pertaining to immigration and you see migrants entering upon the thousands and being bused to places all over the United States and put up in hotels and provided with public education and services, why wouldn't you come at this point? I can't say specifically why we're seeing Chinese male nationals. Like you, I try not to be a conspiracy theorist, but there is certainly statistically a high number of them entering. And like I said before the break, word gets out in terms of what's going on at the border, and we see it ebb and flow based on the administrations and what they will and won't tolerate. And now this executive order that goes into effect at midnight tonight is saying, whoa, wait, the last 3 years, well, this has been terrible, even though we've had control of it the whole time. And we're going to, quote unquote, do something about it, which probably won't happen. And this is all just a few months before presidential election. So, I mean, it rings very hollow to me. I don't think it takes a very sophisticated mind to see that this is political maneuver. And whether you're, you know, Democrat or Republican, I just feel like our immigration system is a joke. I've been working in it for 27 years, and I love bringing in people lawfully, but it's incredibly difficult and incredibly time consuming to do that.
Well, and this is something that I tried to emphasize when first introducing the topic. I think immigration is what helped to build the United States of America. That being said, the United States of America has a sovereign duty to protect its borders, and we should be the all-star team of the world. And you know what? As many East Indian or Pakistani doctors or IT specialists as we can bring into the United States and have on our team, I'm all for it. And obviously, a humane number of people who are genuinely being persecuted in their home country. But I'm not a big fan of the idea that you leave Venezuela and you don't ask for asylum in Mexico.
Right. And we do have legal ways of entering the United States. They're difficult and they're clunky, but it's what I've done for a living for 27 years. There's a way to do it. And we are still a nation built on immigrants. My clients are fabulous. They're researchers, they're doctors, they're entertainers, they're musicians. These are hardworking people that, quote unquote, want a better life, follow the law, are willing to wait their turn and jump through a million hoops to get here. That exists. That's very alive, very well. It's incredibly difficult, which is why we have this backdoor immigration problem where people say, you know what, that's too hard. I don't qualify. I'm just going to go across the border. I'm going to be put up in a hotel. I'm going to be fed three meals a day. I'm getting a cell phone, public education. You know, look, I'd like to do it the right way, but I can't. So here's what we're doing. And now we have this huge, huge problem that at once was limited to border states, and now it's absolutely everywhere. And, you know, from a humanitarian perspective, I can't imagine being a migrant sitting in a hotel doing nothing all day for months on end. I mean, that's not great either. So, you know, the entire issue here is just wrought with problems from every degree and angle.
Okay, and this is going to sound like a political question. Perhaps there is a political component to it, and that is you take a city like New York City, for example. New York City declared itself to be a sanctuary city. Everybody, come on in from everywhere. Come to New York City. We will welcome you. We will feed you. We will shelter you. But what does New York City then do? New York City realizes, my goodness, even in New York City, we can't make this work. So they start to export the illegal immigrants all over the state, including here in Erie County, because it doesn't work. We can't possibly accommodate everybody in the world who wants to come to the United States.
Absolutely. And this, to me, is just a numbers game, right? New York City, sanctuary city. We'll take everybody until the bubble bursts. And where are you going to put people? How are you going to feed them? Where are they going to live? I mean, yes, we're a huge country, but we also have our own internal challenges budgetarily, monetarily. And yeah, we're a big country, but we can't take in the whole world. And that's why, you know, people say to me all the time about the immigration law, well, people just want to come and have a better life. And I'm like, well, the federal immigration law, would you say the same thing if somebody violated the federal gun laws or drug laws? Would you say, well, you know, they were just having a hard time? No, we have a law. It's got to be respected. When it's not, we have this crisis situation now. We have millions of people roaming around doing God knows what, and cities and municipalities are running out of money. We can't pay for our own things, let alone the rest of the world. So this is a numbers game right now, and even the most, you know, liberal cities that said, we're taking everyone, we'll take them, they've run out of money and space. And so now, you know, it's been more widespread. But it is a really, really tough issue for not only the municipalities, but also the migrants that are here. It's just, in my mind, this is a huge mess that could have been prevented by taking a stronger position when this all started happening 3 years ago.
Now, one of the issues I don't know that we've talked about at great length, and I don't know that it came up with President Biden today, which is why we kind of changed topics into the whole immigration thing. But even locally in both Lockport and Cheektowaga recently, the local authorities as well as operatives of DHS, they have closed down. One was a foot place. The other was an illegal massage parlor. And it is a fact, and this should be disgusting to anybody who considers the issue. Now, look, I believe what consenting adults do with other consenting adults is their business, and I believe prostitution ought to be legal. But the problem is we literally, right here in Western New York, have women who are being held, generally Asian women, who are being held as sex slaves. And they're being forced to live in these sleazy operations. They're forced to do anything with anybody. And what are we possibly doing and what can we do to get a grip on that horrific situation? Because what it amounts to is sexual slavery. And that is just one of the most evil things in the world.
Yeah, and it happens more often than you would think. When you hear human trafficking, you think of these like super high level advanced criminal schemes in New York City or Chicago. And the reality is I've attended a lot of seminars locally. Human trafficking is alive and well, unfortunately, in Western New York, where people are brought in through smugglers and have to repay the smugglers in terrible and horrific ways. And that's an issue in and of itself. But it just shows that there's a lot of different ways that people are coming to the United States. The desperation to come here, the willingness to be able to do anything. When the beginning of my career, I was a prosecutor in immigration court in New York City. And, you know, we were deporting people essentially in immigration court. And when you would hear what some of these foreign nationals paid to come to the United States, they pay smugglers $25,000. Now, this was 30 years ago, Tom. Now, they don't have the $25,000, right? They might have $1,000, but then they have to repay them in other ways. And that's what happens with human trafficking and smugglers and bringing people in, you know, through the back door of our immigration law. You find people in horrific, horrific situations that they can't get out of because they are bound to somebody who brought them here.
It's disgusting to contemplate, and we're talking about indentured servitude to provide sexual services to people in order to get a meal, in order to have a place to sleep, and absolutely no freedom, no opportunity to assimilate. They are basically prisoners. And every human trafficking arrest in my book is an arrest well made, because you're basically saving human beings from a terrible life of degradation. And I'm glad to see that there's an increased focus on that. Now, one of the things that President Biden talked about today was going after the visa opportunities of some of the people, for example, in Colombia, who are involved in bringing people illegally into the United States. Is that going to have any impact at all, given the fact that just one person, even in Colombia, is going to be responsible for whatever it is now, $30,000 to be smuggled into the United States?
Yeah, that's a super complex issue. It's been going on since the sands of time. How you target that and shut that down, that's tough. That is super high-level international smuggling, but it happens. I mean, we hear it all the time here locally. You know, there's a boat full of people trying to cross the Niagara River, right, being smuggled in from one side to the other. Today's executive order is not going to touch that. It's not even going to come close to touching it. You have to cut these things off at the source, and in knowing who smugglers are, they'd have to be severely penalized. But we're not even like talking in that realm. We're just trying to turn off the water faucet here with a million people coming in, no place to go, and, you know, not automatically able to work, contribute, or legalize their status.
So much content to get into with you. I was going to keep you for a segment, but I got to round out the show with you. Immigration attorney Rosanna Berardi. Will, as a result of what we've been talking about and the President Biden immigration policy changes announced today, and people can read about those at WBEN.com and download the Odyssey app so you can always listen to us. It's AUDACY, the Odyssey app. It's really the only app you need on your phone, just so you know. But what is going to happen to the migrants or illegal invaders already in the United States?
Well, this executive order won't have an impact upon them. This is on a go-forward basis, effective at midnight tonight, until it's challenged in court. So the individuals that are here will be here housed and waiting for their turn, either with an asylum officer or, an asylum officer or an immigration judge, which, boy, oh boy, are those folks backed up. And those, you know, the migrants here, you know, have a very long wait ahead of them. But for them, the good news is they can remain here and wait. They do ultimately get work authorization as a matter of fact after several months. Children are enrolled in school. So business as usual on that side, and the executive order today will only affect people that are trying to knock at the door of the U.S. southern border after midnight tonight.
I know we touched upon this a little bit earlier, but briefly, didn't President Trump, didn't he try to do the same thing in 2018 and was legally challenged?
Yes, he did. Much to the horror of the Democratic Party, which I just find both parties just to be so ironic and ridiculous. Tried to do the same thing, went through a series of federal courts that said, no, you cannot restrict who can apply for asylum and when, just because there's too many or the system's over flooded. I mean, if you want to fix that, you've got to go to the foundational issue, which is fix the law. You can't have an executive order doing this. So this will be, I mean, the ACLU has come out immediately and said, we're challenging this. This is garbage. We're challenging this, which talk about just an about face for the administration. But we're going to see a challenge. It's probably not going to go into effect. Again, window dressing. He tried to do something, but it didn't work. But at least he tried. Like, that's really the message that I think they're going for.
And obviously political, and obviously based on polling numbers involving people in the middle and suburban women. Rosanna Berardi, I didn't mean to keep you on quite so long. I'm glad you were, and I'm sure we'll chat again at some point in the future, because this immigration issue isn't going anywhere.
No, it's not. It's number two right behind the economy. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll chat soon.
Thank you very much, immigration attorney Rosanna Berardi on News Radio 930 WBEN. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's interesting because the immigration issue is right up there, and the economy and inflation is right up there. But even though you guys cared about shrinkflation and inflation yesterday, today it didn't do too much for you. So sometimes in our relationship, I try to read your mind, and I just can't. I try. Anyway, thank you for listening, and thank you for the calls and all that stuff. And I want you to stay tuned, because coming up, it is Tom Puckett and Buffalo's Evening News from 6 until 7, right here on the station that is always here when you need us the most, News Radio 930 WBEN.